With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
It's News Talk. It's Aine and Liana. It's the Anton Savage Show with Aine and Liana. That's to suggest that she's co-presenting, which effectively she will be for about the next 6 or 7 minutes.
You're not going to get a word in edgewise at all.
She's here to talk wildlife. Most importantly, why you should put chili pepper on your nuts.
Yeah, well, in the more manner of speaking, this is because lots of people put out food for birds this time of the year, which is a great idea and I thoroughly recommend it. But they get annoyed because grey squirrels come along and gobble all the nuts out of the feeders, and then poor little birds don't get them. So the trick is, because squirrels are mammals and birds are birds, which are a different group altogether, if you put chili powder on top of the nuts to make them all taste of chili, it'll put off the squirrels who don't like hot nuts. Whereas your birds don't have taste buds and they can't taste them, just swallow them down whole.
Birds don't have any taste buds?
No, well, not to the same extent that chili peppers will put them off. They don't care.
They don't have pain receptors for capsaicin or whatever it is.
No, I'm reliably informed by the people that know, not being a bird myself. But yeah, and that'll get rid of them for you for a while at least.
Speaking of birds, I see the Brent geese are back.
Ah yeah, they're one of our winter visitors and they come to us from across the ocean, from Greenland and Iceland and Arctic Canada. They went come from Arctic Canada and they come here for the winter time because they're vegetarians, they eat grass. The Arctic is all covered in snow, so they come here to eat the grass.
How do we decide who owns them?
Well, wherever you're born, that's where you're from.
Is that it?
Well, wouldn't you think so? Where are you from? You don't say I'm from Dublin, I'm living here now. You're from wherever you started. I don't know where you're from, but I don't care. Well, I always say I'm from Louth, wouldn't you know, by the old accent. But I'm in Dublin for the last 50 years, but I'm not a Dub, by Christ, I'm not. But my kids are Dubs because they're born in Dublin.
So the Brent geese are all born in Canada?
Yes, because that's where they breed, or in the high Arctic, yeah, indeed. And then
so the lads that come up from South Africa during the summers, the same...
No, they're born here, you stupo. They come here to breed. Swallows are Irish.
No, I mean,
you're not keeping up with the plot.
Is it not terns? Who are the ones that... Is it not terns that...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, lots of things. Well, the terns are actually in the sea. They're not in South Africa. They're in the ocean. So they're in the Arctic and the Antarctic and they fly around from the Arctic.
But they're not born in the Arctic or the Antarctic.
Well, yeah, they're born off
our
coast.
They don't lay eggs into the sea.
That's why they have to come ashore to breed. But they come ashore off our coast. They don't come ashore in the southern hemisphere.
So we own them?
Yeah, okay. We own them. If you're born here, you're from here.
Now, while we're on the topic of things that fly,
ex-cathedra.
You have a stunning revelation in respect of the reindeer that we should be aware of.
Well, we should be aware of the fact that Rudolph's reindeers are women. Sorry, that Santa's reindeers are women.
Santa's including reindeers. Rudolph.
Yeah, you see, what happens is, in Ireland, our deer, all our two, three species, the males have antlers and the females don't. You know, so the stags all have their antlers and they fight with each other in September and they have the rut and the biggest fella with the biggest antlers wins and all is merry and grand. And in the reindeer, both the males and the females have antlers. They all have antlers, males and females. The same carry-on goes on with reindeer. They have a big fight and bunks each other and bait each other up for the women and they have the rut before Christmas. And then when they've that done and the fellow wins, they don't need antlers anymore and they fall off.
Do the women's fall off as well?
The women's fall off, but not until February or March because they can't lose all that calcium because they're pregnant and having babies and stuff after the other fellow won the battle. So they don't lose their antlers until the end of February and March. So if you're having Santa coming, and we are, and he comes and we have pictures of him everywhere, and the antlers on the reindeer all coming with antlers, at Christmas time, they are women. So Rudolph is a girl, you heard it here first. Now, we always know that Olive the other reindeer, we know Olive the other reindeer, she was always a woman, you know, Olive the other reindeer, you know. But Rudolph, they're all women, Prancer and Dancer and the whole bloody lot of them. They all have antlers and they are all women. And this is the God's honest truth.
I think I'm going to go happy knowing the thing of Olive the other reindeer.
Did you ever hear that one? I never heard that one, no. It's the old joke's the best.
I misread this and I thought it said my wife found a saturated grounded cow, and I thought that was a significant problem. But what it actually says is, Aina, my wife found a saturated grounded crow that the vet wouldn't see because of bird flu. Any tips on what to do with it? What do you do with a saturated grounded crow? Dry it off?
Put it in a box. Keep it warm. Generally, you put it in a box and keep it in the dark, and that calms them down and stuff like that. And then, you know, crows are particularly Catholic, they'll eat anything, and not having to feed them with drops or something. So put them in a quiet place, put the lid on it, in the box, nice and dark. I mean, you know, you can get a few holes, a cardboard box, shoe box, something like that. And then, you know, leave it ajar, and the thing will either recover or die. I mean, the world won't end if there's one crow left. They're not an endangered
Schrodinger's
species.
Crow, effectively, in that instance.
I know.
Right in saying that crows use tools?
Yeah, well, the crows are the most intelligent group of birds. So there's a particular crow from, not particularly in Ireland, that can actually pick up sticks and poke at things and do that. But even in Ireland, you see them sometimes with bins, and there's rubbish in the bin, and they'll actually pull up the plastic bag to get to the rubbish. So they're actually able to see that they there's a consequence to their actions, that they can do something and more food will accrue to them. And so bird brains, calling somebody a bird brain is not necessarily an insult if you're a crow.
Now, this brings up a thing that we were talking about briefly in the break, which was the
Caledonian crow is the most clever one, but we don't have that one in Ireland. It's the one that actually gets sticks and pokes things.
Yeah, it'll poke termites out of a log, won't it? Or little larvae out of a log.
Yeah.
The genetic memory, you were talking about this in respect of the not-so-bright squirrels, but am I right in saying that at one point there was evidence of genetic memory in blue tits and milk bottles? Wasn't there something about that blue tits...
The poor old blue tits. We used to have milk bottles. When I came to Dublin, me and Finn McCool, 50 years ago, we had milk bottles and there was a cream on top of the milk, and you fought each other to get it on your cornflakes.
Before they started all this homogenisation crack and ruined everything.
Yeah, and then you sat on your doorstep, and the blue tits discovered if they pecked little holes in it, they could drink the cream, and so it helped them over the winter. Blue tits are really small, and you have to eat so much food every day to keep it fat enough, because the day is very short and the night is very long at this time of the year. 8 and 16 hours long, so it gets cold and you have to have enough. So having this ability to do this was some mutation or another, and so they actually did this, and this was great, and it didn't take long until the ones that did it survived and the ones that didn't cop on died. So everybody could do it because the ones that had survived had an advantage. But the crows, albeit in the form of magpies, because magpies are a type of crow, they saw this with their own eyes and they decided that they were going to do the same thing. I remember coming out to the doorstep one time and the milk was all broken on the doorstep. So I waited for the milkman the next day. I said, are you flinging the bottles from the gate into my house? And he said, it's them bloody magpies. They're standing on the bottles and they're pecking them with their beaks, and blue tits they are not. And the milk bottles fall over and break. Anyway, they brought in the triangular cartons, and neither a magpie nor us with the scissors could open them after that. And they homogenised the milk. And it's forgotten now. But that was something that was passed on. That wasn't a genetic memory, though. That was something that was a particular advantage given by a mutation in a gene. What I'm talking about in this fact of the grey squirrels is that grey squirrels know their enemies, but, I mean, so do red squirrels. The enemy is the pine marten. So if a pine marten has been about or does droppings and there's a squirrel and he smells there's a red squirrel, he says, aha, I'm not staying here, yeah, man, I can smell it. I know he's dangerous. They don't even see it, but they can smell it. Whereas the big mope from America, the big grey squirrel, comes along and says, you know, what's that? And he's around on the ground, and, of course, the pine martens has him for tea. And so, I mean, but this was like long ago, people are afraid of spiders. Like, what does a spider ever do to you? But or snakes or things like this that we don't have in Ireland. We don't have snakes here, but people are afraid of snakes and we don't have them. So it's a human thing to remember that when kids were little and long ago in caves and parents had to go off to get food, that the kids had to be afraid of things so that they wouldn't die. So there's this kind of corporate knowledge that something is dangerous. I mean, why should we be afraid of snakes? Now there's no snakes here. Patrick did a good job on that. So, you know, what are we doing afraid of something that isn't even here? But people are and terrified of them. People won't go to Africa because you might meet a snake. I went to Africa, spent my life looking for a snake, never saw any.
You went to sub-Saharan Africa, didn't see a single snake?
I saw one snake in the end, eventually, with great luck, having been
there
4 times.
Call yourself a wildlife
expert. I know, dreadful. I wasn't in on safari. But I mean, according to my informants, they were waiting at the airport to nab you when you arrived.
Aina, you're wonderful. Thank you. Happy Christmas.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details
Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.